Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
All right, let's listen to what Jalen said.
He definitely does.
Let's listen to what Jalen said about the injury, and then right to the ditty.
Jalen, how do you feel physically? How you went the medical temp, and how'd you come out of the game?
It's a tough game, a challenging game. I was able to finish the game and see how the week goes.
Were there separate injuries? Like at the end of the half, it looked like you were slow to get up. You were late coming out of the tunnel, and then of course you had the one that sent you to the tent in the second half.
No.
For this week, you said you'll see how the week goes. Is your status uncertain for next week?
Great question. No, I was just seeing how the week would go, seeing how things progress.
So you think you feel confident you'll play next week, I guess?
Yeah.
All right, that's Jalen Hurts after the game yesterday. Reminder, we are giving away tickets to the NFC Championship game. We are giving away tickets to the NFC Championship game. The Eagles in Washington, we give those tickets away right around this time on Friday. Friday at 8 o'clock. But you got to listen, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday at 8 o'clock, all four shows. We give you a name. With the four names, by the end of the week, you can win tickets to the Eagles versus Washington.
And, of course, they are courtesy of our great partner, NovaCare Rehabilitation, the power of physical therapy.
Eagles a 5.5-point favorite in that game, similar to being a 6.5-point favorite yesterday. Let's talk to the Ditty. Ray Dittinger, after a victory by the Eagles that was nerve-wracking, walking the tightrope, epic. And Ray Ditty, thrilling. What a victory by the Eagles, Ray. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Joe. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm anxious to find out what you thought, Ray. You've seen a lot in Philadelphia sports. This thing had a little bit of everything. What did you make of it?
It was very nerve-wracking.
Yeah.
It was. Because you kind of got the feeling right at the beginning with that first Jalen Hurts touchdown, you know, and you kind of felt like, wow, this might be easier than I thought. Because I thought all along going into it, it was going to be a very tough game. I really did. I mean, even though the Rams had a lot of disadvantages, the short week, the long trip across country, coming here to play in the cold weather, I mean, there were a lot of reasons to really like the Eagles, and the point spread kept going up all week as a result of that. But I never felt that way. I thought that the Rams were, you know, the Rams had played very well down the stretch, and I thought they were going to be a real tough out. I really did. And then the Eagles scored that early touchdown. I thought, well, maybe this is going to be easier than I thought. But, you know, the fact that it came down and you were still fighting for your life in the fourth quarter wasn't all that surprising to me, because I really liked the way the Rams finished the year. I thought they played you know, with a lot of grit, and I thought they were a tough team, and I thought that'd be a tough proposition, and they were. But the Eagles found a way to win at the end. So, and then the Eagles, of course, got the huge break on Saturday with in Washington knocking off Detroit, and now the NFC Championship game will be here, which we had kind of given up on a month or so ago. So, right now, I mean, your season's still alive, and you got the championship game here, and you got Washington coming here for the title game, and it's pretty exciting. But yesterday that fourth quarter, I think we were all on the edge of our seat.
Big time. Ray, can you put into words Jalen Carter's dominance? What'd you see from him, the level of play he's playing at in his second year in pro football?
Tremendous. You know, I mean, and the fact that he's improved so much in 1 year's time is really impressive. You know, last year he had a really strong first half of the season, and then the second half of the season tailed off, largely because he just got tired and his he wasn't conditioned to play the long season, and it really showed down the stretch. But this year, I mean, he's played very well throughout, and he has played a ton of snaps. I mean, it's not, they always talk about the rotation on the defensive line, and I know it's something that the coaches try to do today, but
he doesn't rotate.
No, this guy is on the field all the time, and it's the fact that he's able to do that now and still be the force that he is in the fourth quarter, that he's not just, you know, sucking wind and just sort of pushing and standing around in the fourth quarter, but he's actually, in the fourth quarter, he can actually crank it up a few notches when you need to make a big play. I mean, that is really, really impressive. I mean, he's turned into the player that we all hoped he was going to be, and you know, the Eagles are very happy that they found him still on the board at number 9.
Ray, I don't know exactly how many times Jalen dropped back, but if we're guessing 30, 7 sacks in 30 dropbacks, it's just, man, it's way too much to handle. How is this getting away from us like this? Who is most to blame for the protection issues? It seemed like it was, you know, take your pick. Cam Jurgens almost, it felt like, you know, misses the twist or whatever that was, the assignment.
Right.
You just go down the line. Mekhi Becton getting taken advantage of on this play. Jordan Mailata getting, you know, it's just Lane Johnson. I don't know. It sounded like after the game, Jalen was talking about a simulated snap possibly that pulled Lane Johnson offside. Just felt like the offensive line had a sloppier game than what I've seen in a long time, and I'm wondering if you felt the same way, and how do we fix that?
Yeah, well, I think everything you said is probably true. In fact, the numbers are actually worse than you thought. There were 27 dropbacks, and he got sacked seven times.
Jeez.
So that is unacceptable. And, you know, some of it, you know, the responsibility is twofold. I mean, you know, the offensive line didn't play as good in terms of pass protection, didn't play as good as it's capable of,
yeah.
And didn't play as good as it's going to have to be to win their games that remain. That's true. But the other part of it is the quarterback. The other part of it is the quarterback. And the fact that and he's always been a, you know, hold the ball too long kind of guy. I mean, if you go back through all the stats, you know, all the Pro Football Focus people and all the analytics people that actually break down the, you know, the release time on the various quarterbacks, he has always been among the slower.
Right.
But it's this is really a problem. I mean, you're seeing it now for sure. And that's something that's going to have to be rectified. And I really do think that it might be time for Jalen and Nick and Kellen Moore to have a little sit down this week and just do a reevaluation of their passing concepts right now, because there has to be a component of quick look, quick release, get the ball out of the hands in a hurry, short slants, that kind of stuff. They have to be. I'm sure they're in the playbook, but they have to be revisited now. I mean, if you're going to want to get the ball, you have two receivers here in Brown and Smith that can get open right off the line of scrimmage. They can run the quick out. They can run the quick in. They can run the little digs. I mean, those balls that come out of the quarterback's hand, those guys can run those routes. But right now, they're just not getting those opportunities. The plays are just passing plays are just too slow developing. And, you know, and Jalen has not had much success throwing the ball deep down the field in a while. I mean, he's had I saw my buddy Ruben Frank, who does a really good job with statistics, was evaluating after yesterday's game, and he said that Jalen Hurts has zero completions of 35 or more yards in the last 7 games.
Mm. Ray, is that from
That's incredible.
Is he turtled? Like, is this Jake Elliott missing extra points and afraid because he really doesn't feel confident in his ability to make any of these kicks? Is Jalen lacking in confidence? Is that part of this?
No, I don't think so.
I mean, he has to let that ball fly in order to complete that.
And
pass,
for what it's and for what it's worth, if AJ catches the one that he should have in early in the game, that's probably 35 or more yards.
Yeah.
And I also thought Jalen had a beautiful throw in the first quarter. It wasn't completed. I forget the circumstances of why.
Devontae?
I really don't remember, but I just remember thinking he had a rocket of a throw that I thought was beautiful. But, Ray, I mean, it has been a slog for a while now in the passing game, obviously.
Yeah, it has. And that has to be, you know, it has to be addressed. Now, the problem is that with Hurts coming out of the game with a knee injury, you have to wonder how much he's going to be able to practice this week. You know, I mean, there's some things you would like to work on. But physically, how much is he going to be able to work on? I mean,
you can
sit and look at the film. You can talk it over with the coaches. You can sit with the playbook at the table and strategize and theorize about the different things you can do. But his time on the field this week is going to be limited.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no question about that. And there are things that he could be working on this week, but he's not going to be able to. But at least they have to have this conversation of, look, we have to start getting the ball out quicker. We have to start finding routes to get these guys open. Now, yesterday, both Brown and Smith had a couple of drops. You know, I mean, there were a couple balls to each of those guys that Hurts threw. That, I mean, he threw a fine ball and they got to catch it. Now, all year that was never a concern. If he threw a ball to either Smith or Brown, it was caught. I mean, you didn't even think about those guys dropping a pass.
Right, but
yesterday that wasn't true. Now,
but the extenuating circumstances.
Yeah, obviously the conditions contributed to that. But that's part of the reason why the passing game is bogged down.
Yeah.
I mean, you have a game yesterday where if you take away the way they compute stats in the NFL now, they take sack yardage away from your passing yardage. The Eagles passing the Eagles passing net was what, 60 yards?
Yeah, 60 something. That's right.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. So these are all things that they have to talk about and they have to improve upon. The only problem is how much is Hurts going to be on the field at all during practice this week, because most of this week is going to be about rehab.
Look around the league though, and it feels like this time everyone loves the way Buffalo's playing football, and they're not throwing the ball either. Is that just a side effect of this is the type of football that works best this time of year, Ray? I mean,
in addition to
the snow, it did change things.
Yeah, I think that yesterday's game and what the game became in the second half had a tremendous impact on that. I don't think that any of that is typical. But, you know, this is kind of where the Eagles are right now. I mean, they're in a great position. I mean, if you're an Eagles fan, you got to feel really good about the fact that you got, you know, your championship game. You're going to be playing Washington, and you're going to be playing them here. And there's a lot of things that you really got to feel good about. But there are certain things that they still have to work on the offense. But, you know, if when you look at Washington, I mean, they're playing so well right now. I mean, they are right now. They've won 7 in a row. Statistically, they have improved in every area.
Hadn't the Rams been winning a bunch of games and flying high, too?
Oh, they had.
Every team at this point of the year is flying high.
Yeah, they had, but the difference is that the Rams were kind of what the Rams were all during the season. I mean, you kind of knew what they were. They started slow, and they didn't play particularly well, but they were basically the same team. The Washington team has just grown. I mean, you look at their statistics from the early part of the season when they were 7-5 to where they are now. Huge difference.
Totally.
I mean, this is a team. I mean, if you look at the stats, Washington in the regular season was 30th against the run, defending the run, which you would look at and you'd say, wow, that's going to be great for the Eagles. I mean, the Eagles go into this and they're going to run the ball and they're going to run it against the 30th ranked defense. They're not that defense anymore. I mean, they were allowing an average of 4.8 yards per carry in the regular season. And some teams just flat ran over them. Not doing it now. I mean, right now, they were giving up 4.8 in the regular season. Now they're giving up 4.0. So, I mean, they have improved that much. And they've improved kind of all across the board. But in that area specifically, which speaks directly to the Eagles' strength and the Eagles' plan of attack on offense, Washington is a much, much better team. That's defensively. You know what you're dealing with the quarterback. You know what that kid has grown into. But defensively, they're a much sounder team, and they're much stouter against the run.
Yeah, no, I think your analysis is dead on, Ray. And I'll add this. The Rams, as much as they played well down the stretch, they did not have a win at the Detroit Lions. I mean, what Washington did Saturday night was really impressive. All right, Ray, two other Jalen Hurts-related questions as it relates to the upcoming game. The first is, if he has a sprained MCL, and we don't know that he does, but he's got something. I mean, he's not right. I mean, something's off. If it's a sprained MCL, how much would that worry you?
A lot. A lot. Because I think if that really is what it is, and I hate to say it, but I think it is, it's a real concern. Because there are a lot of things that you would like to build into the game plan for this game geared towards his strengths and his normal abilities that you're probably either going to have to remove or you're going to have to think real long and hard before you call him, which are plays that involve him tucking the ball away and running it. If you really are at a point where, as a coaching staff, you just say, you know what, yeah, we just can't ask him to do that. Now you're really taking a significant part of your playbook away, and that's a real concern.
Yeah, I agree.
That is a real concern. Now, do I have any doubts about whether he's going to line up on Sunday? No, I mean he will, but I just wonder how much of him will be there on Sunday.
Totally agree. Ray, here's the second question. That's then the follow up. You know, assuming he plays, and I certainly think he will, who the number two quarterback is designated becomes even more important because you don't know that Jalen can finish the game. I mean, you just don't know. Who would you have as the designated backup quarterback?
Assuming the Pickett's healthy, I would be Pickett. I would just lean towards the experience factor and also the fact that he played against Washington the last time. And even though a lot of people, you know, you lost that game, well, you know, I don't put it on Pickett. I really don't. I mean, he – you know, he got you back ahead. He left the field with the lead, and your defense gave it up. So if Pickett's well, if he's recovered, if he's fully recovered, then he would be my number two. I'll just in this spot, I would just lean towards the experience factor.
All right, Ray, phenomenal, as always, my man. We will talk to you. Enjoy this, Ray. This is special. You know, these things don't come around that often, although with the Eagles, they come around more often than they used to with these opportunities.
Listen, Joe, do you realize this is the eighth trip to the NFC Championship game in Jeff Lurie's ownership?
That's astronomical. It's so great.
Well, Ray, how about this? Eight since the Dallas Cowboys had won.
Right.
I mean, since 2000, and you could go further back, you could go back to 95, but let's just pick 2000 for the purpose of this century. The ledger is NFC Championship game appearances, Eagles, 8, Dallas Cowboys, 0.
Right, right. And this will be the sixth time they've hosted the NFC title game since 2001. I mean, it's been an extraordinary run for this team.
Yeah.
You know, we talk a lot about the coaches, talk a lot about the players, as you would. I fully understand that. We give a lot of credit to Howie Roseman, as we should. I understand that, too. But, boy, I mean, Jeff Lurie's ownership has been really been remarkable. I mean, he has helped take this team, which for a long, long, long time was lost in the wilderness. And you and I lived it.
Yes, we did.
We saw not just years, but whole decades go by when this team didn't get a sniff of the postseason. And now, and now they are just there all the time with the elite teams, and that's, I mean, it's a credit to all the people in the organization and the players most of all, obviously, because they're the ones that are going on the field making it happen. But boy, good ownership is such a big factor in pro football, and if you have good ownership, you have a chance. And Jeff Lurie has brought good ownership to Philadelphia, and we hadn't seen that in a long time.
All right, Ray, great stuff, bud. We'll talk to you. Thank you, Ray.
All right,
thanks,
take care,
Ray.
Guys.
There
Bye-bye.
He is, the Diddy. All right,
Becko Stafford. He looks up. He's being chased. He has the ball knocked out of his hands. Eagles have it.
Yep.
Second turnover.
Yep.
Knocked out of his hands. And coming up with it, Nolan Smith made the hit. Nolan Smith hit him. And Zach Bourne recovered.
Well, you know, it's such a great morning. It's so wonderful to be with you on a really cold morning today. And obviously some ice out there, so be careful if you're driving. Let's get to the Twitter poll question of the day. Rhea in the update featured obviously both Saquon and Jalen, and they come squarely into focus for player of the game. Twitter poll question of the day brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Do more and get more. 2025 Armin Chevrolet Trailblazer starting at only $23,995. Together, let's drive. See Armin's inventory at ArminChevy.com. Who was the player of the game? Was it Saquon or Jalen? John, who was it? I mean, it's such a 50-50, but if you had to give the ultimate player of the game ball to one of them, who gets it?
I think it's Saquon.
See, I think it's Jalen, but it's close, man. My God. James, who really is it? Who's player of the game? I mean, it doesn't matter. I'm just, who gets it?
Yeah, it's about as 50-50 as I just said Jalen Carter had one of the best defensive games we've ever seen an Eagles player play in the playoffs, and Saquon had one of the best offensive games. It's only the ninth 200-yard game in the history of the playoffs. Like.
Yeah.
Honestly, maybe Saquon 51-49 just because of the majesty of it. But
by the way, I got a rip, and I thought NBC had a good crew. I thought they did a good job. I got a rip to director who took the camera off Saquon after he got it in the end zone. You knew he was about to. You could see he's running across the end zone, running across it. Thinking maybe he's about to slide, which by the way, he did. And they pulled the freaking camera off.
We got a view from somebody else.
They showed Twitter and then the crowd. And it's like, I mean, I get it, but I mean, don't pull the camera off Saquon on that moment.
You have a lot of cameras.
Yeah, you do.
I mean, come on.
Anyway, all right, so tremendous job by the Eagles on a lot of fronts. Let's listen to Darius Slay talking about the end of the game. It was nerve-wracking, and Slay played a great game. Obviously, he got beat, a little bit beat, on what turned into close to a 40-yard pass near the end of the game that got the Rams deeper into Eagles territory. But for the most part, Slay was great. End of the game, nerve-wracking. Here's Darius Slay talking about the end.
When that final pass fell incomplete, I mean, threw your way, what went through your mind?
I say staff know me better than that. You know what I'm saying? Staff, you know doggone well now. I've been in a lot of positions, and we've been in a lot of wars together, and you know, I know what kind of staff like to try, the guys. So, I'm like, staff know better. You should have known you should have went somewhere else with it. I know you started successful early. I mean, late. And then you're like, oh, let me go try this again. Nah, that ain't going to work again now, staff. Nah. You got to look. You got to look, though.
You got to on the sideline earlier, though.
Huh? That was a good ass ball. I'm saying, like, that's what I said. Like, he know go make a play. He got a Puka, great catch. great throw. You know, that's how you got to beat a, you know, a good corner. You know what I'm saying? Because what's beat good coverage? A great throw. And, you know, only but Stafford, them type of guys, they can make that type of throw.
All right, Darius Slay, entertaining sure. as always. James, I need that na-na-na-na-na-na on my drop board.
Yeah.
When a caller makes a point and I'm going to na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na. That was a good one. All right, let's go to Tom in Abington. Yo, Tom.
Yo, gang. How we doing this morning?
Psyched.
Doing great, Tom.
Very psyched, Tom.
Yes. So I told you guys the Lions and the rest of that division were frauds.
You know, I don't think they were. I think the Lions defense never really recovered from those injuries.
Well, for whatever the reason, Joe. Okay. I knew they were going down. Yeah. So this sets up our home game coming up. This is fantastic. If I were to give out game balls, I'd give it to Jalen Carter for Saquon second. But then you got Braden Mann right behind him.
Dude, I mean, he's in my top five or six.
Look, unbelievable.
Those holds, the holds and the punts were both great.
Yeah, and then I got Jalen.
I don't know how great the holds were.
Dude, they were a little outside, man. That was outside.
Both of them were outside. The fact that he wrangled them?
I don't know.
Wrangled is a good word,
right?
That's
Rhea. What he did.
We're still missing extra points.
But it's certainly not his fault.
He still made two big kicks in that game.
Look, maybe Lovato's got to snap it a little better. I'm not saying that's not impossible to consider. But they were not easy snaps for him to get. But the ones that he grabbed and put down were the ones that Jake Elliott made.
Fourth game ball for me is Jalen Hurts just for the run that he had with that first score. But I got to tell you guys, if I had a blame ball for this and he almost cost us the game, that'd be Kellen Moore on. What is he doing calling these pass plays that take forever to develop? Moron.
See, Tom, I don't think they take forever to develop. I think Hurts holds the ball. It makes it look like it takes forever to develop.
Nah, you saw them guys running like down the field trying to get open.
The problem was with the lack of footing at times. It was just a beat longer, and that's
like,
part of why it didn't work.
The situation.
Right.
The passing game was not there yesterday, and every time we ran the ball or had a screen or a little dump off, they were the plays that
were
working.
Well, hold on.
Timing was effective.
Tom, here's where I disagree with you. Good chunk of the second and third quarter. Saquon wasn't going anywhere. Portion of the game, he couldn't get. I mean, it was kind of like Derrick Henry yesterday. There were stretches where he couldn't
go
anywhere.
If you keep pounding the rock with Saquon, eventually, as he showed, he's going to bust one off.
Tom, I agree with that, but I'll just say this: he had 26 carries. I mean, do you want him to have 35? I mean, I'm calling on Leonard Saquon.
I wanted him to have 34, one last in the final drive when they're trying to run out the clock, and instead Hurts takes a 12-yard.
Well, here's what I'll say in their defense, and Tom, good call, buddy. Here's what I'll say in their defense on that call, which is second down. If you track this year, when the Eagles are doing the 4-minute drive or the 2-minute drive to try to ice the game, they throw on second down a lot.
But it's about Jalen's leg. Like, he couldn't roll out effectively.
I understand.
That was the issue. And then he couldn't plant and throw. Because A.J. was open. Like, it was not a horrible play call if Jalen's healthy. It's just he couldn't execute it.
That's reasonable. That's fair. Let's go to Joe in Mayfair. Joe, good morning.
Hey, good morning. I am very happy. But I'm with Tom, guys. Kellen Moron in the second half with these five-step drops after the shotgun, calling these plays 20, 30 yards downfield. But I got to tell you, you know, Mahomes throws for 177 yards. He's a hero in Kansas City. Josh Allen throws for $127. He's a hero in Buffalo. Our guy hits AJ on a dime on the shoulder. He drops it in the first quarter. Devontae Smith on a 35-yard seam pass gets hit in the helmet on a dime. He drops the ball. First quarter, AJ slant 15 yards down the field, drops the ball.
Totally.
Elite. Yeah, back
I agree. I wouldn't call Devontae's a drop. I mean, he got crushed.
But it's not his fault. But it wasn't.
Jalen played.
He was separated from the ball.
Jalen played better than some people are
100%.
Alluding to.
And, you know, Goddard's touchdown pass, Lane Johnson at Becton, illegal man downfield on a perfect screen setup. You know, the mental mistake, Jalen in positions to take a sack. The sacks were horrible. Becton had a horrible pass blocking game yesterday. Absolutely horrible. He was getting pancaked yesterday.
Well, the one time he got crushed, he might not have had footing. But Joe, I will say this, and I hope you agree with this.
Yep.
Jalen's got to do a better job just throwing the ball away.
I agree with that.
There were times.
He did, and he used to always roll out to the right to throw the ball away.
That's
but
right.
For some reason, he's not rolling to the right.
Well, post-injury, he was effective.
But I'll tell you, Joe, but the fans and the media criticized him five times a game. He would roll out to the right to throw the ball away.
I remember.
But if you're Kellen Moron, and I love that name, and you know your quarterback's struggling, the AJ slant, you can't stop at 101.
Yeah, but here's my argument against that, Joe. And you know I've been saying this for a couple of years now. I think the quick passing game is what Jalen is worst at. So I know people say, well, just get the ball out quick. It's not something he does.
His completion percentage is 77% when he gets rid of the ball in less than 3 seconds. It's not that.
Well, I will say this. Hold on one second. Here's what I'll say. I believe you. I don't know that fact to be true, but I'll take you at your word. I would think a lot of that, because I don't think they do it often, is probably those bubble screen to wide receivers, which of course are going to be a high percentage completion. I mean, of course they're going to be a high percentage completion.
But a lot of his throws are outside the numbers and outside, and he's just putting the ball
up. But not normally in the category Joe just said, which is the first couple seconds.
Well, no, he hits AJ 7 out of 10 times on a slant pattern, at least when it's the one-on-one slant. But I got a question for you guys. Why doesn't Kellen Moore's offense, why don't we believe in yak yardage? Like, you got weapons when you get the ball in their hands, they make people miss. Saquon makes people miss. Kenny Gainwell makes people miss. Devontae makes people miss. Why don't we ever
all right, this is going to sound like a, okay, I'm going to give you an answer. Joe, this is going to sound like a pile on Jalen, and I don't mean it as such, who I think did a better job yesterday than a lot of people are giving him credit for. I really do. One, because he did a lot of good things that people dropped the ball, and two, because it was a John Wayne performance. He came back in that game when, if it's a regular season game, he shouldn't be in there. All right, so two different elements. But I will say this, not to pile on, but just to give you my honest opinion. I think Jalen likes to see it open before often throwing the ball. Like, see it open. And because of that, I think he waits that extra second or so that leads to, by the time
he... It's part of what's given him so much success.
High completion percentage.
Scrambling, buying that time. It's impossible to keep guys covered downfield for that
long.
So they play into it and say, hey, we can use this to our advantage, and he has.
Here's what I'm getting at. He's not hit you in stride guy, timing-wise, as good as some others, and I think that limits the yak yards. I think that's a reasonable way to put it. All right, let's get to something else here. Sirianni talked about the snow, because obviously it was a massive factor in the game. And I thought the Rams did worse with it. But, I mean, James, it did lead to that, like, anything can happen thing.
Totally. No, yeah.
You know,
I mean,
like,
the ball was sliding around. Like, there were, four or five balls that were dropped that their own team recovered, too. It could have been more.
Yeah, it could have been. I mean, it was going every which way, but... Look,
honestly, the field looked slick from the jump, even before the big snow came
Rogers
in, the
slipped.
Sleet,
yeah.
Whatever. It looked just tough from the jump.
No question. Let's listen to Nick Sirianni talking about the Eagles. Obviously, he had to coach a snow game. They had to play in a snow game. Here's what Sirianni said.
How much did the conditions affect the way you coach?
It affects it, especially as that... as the field continues to gather snow, I think it neutralizes things. It has an effect on the game, and we were able to protect the ball, and we were able to force some turnovers. In the midst of it, we had some great individual efforts, of course that plays a part of it, but everything plays a part of it, right? That's why we take advantage of when we can go outside, and be out there in the elements, and because every little thing matters. And the conditions got sloppy today, and we all had to play in it, and we found a way.
Yeah, they sure did. Seth Joyner joins us in a half hour. Also, the Merrill Montage held sounded yesterday. We'll get to that coming up shortly.
His point is incredible, and it's really positive the way he continues to take those guys outside. Andy Reid didn't do that. Andy Reid, we would be inside in the indoor facility on the turf, the pro turf, when the weather got cold. I love the fact that these guys are practicing out there in the stadium that they will be playing in.
Think he's going to do it this week with as cold as it's going to be?
I think he will, yeah. I think they have to play in that. Why not practice in it? I think it makes a difference. And it certainly helped against the Rams.
Well, Belichick would do it. I remember he used to do it.
Yeah. Belichick does all the little things like that. But I was really surprised that the Rams were able to account for the weather as well as they did. They were a lot tougher in the elements for a West Coast team than I ever could have imagined.
Well, I agree with that. I will tell you, I thought either McVay or their special teams coach, whoever you want to put it on, had a tactical mistake. I'm just going to give you one mistake in the game. Something like this one little thing could turn a game. They had a punt in the fourth quarter, the Rams did. And the punter punted it basically just about out of bounds. Cooper DeJean caught it like one step before stepping out of bounds. If I'm and the Rams were down at that point. If I'm McVay, I'm grabbing my punter and say, punt it straight at Cooper DeJean. There is a better chance than a normal game that he will muff it. Like, there weren't many minutes left in the game. I just, like, to me, that's one where Belichick would say, I'm going to make that guy catch it.
I don't know.
I'm going to make him catch it.
There are a lot of special teams coaches who never want their punter to even kick the ball inbound.
I know, but they
special teams coaches
needed,
who say, never
they needed,
let them catch it.
They needed something.
Kick it out of, why would you kick it inbound?
Because he might muff it.
Okay, and if you kick it out of bounds, he's got no chance of returning it at all.
And he's got no chance of muffing it. There's no chance of a turnover.
Yeah, well, it's not a good chance to bank on the muff.
I'm just telling you, there weren't many minutes left in their season, and their season ended. Let's get to Reese right now. Reese, good morning.
Hey, how you doing?
Well, excited up, as hell, my man. This is awesome.
First time, long time.
Nice.
Thank you.
Just wanted to say that, wow, what a game.
Yeah.
What an experience to be down there. Amazing time.
So tell us what that was like, Reese. Give us the in the stands, you know, feel of what was transpiring.
The electricity on that field was just in the stands was just amazing.
Were you as afraid as DeCamera was, Reese?
Yeah, you know what? There's one thing I do agree with him is with Elliott, and just the way he's been kicking lately is just nerve wracking.
He has no faith in his own ability to make any kick.
No matter how far,
how close, it's just, man, it got so away from him. This season, his confidence, it is not there.
It's not there. And how it just almost feels deflating once he misses that kick. And, you know, they go down and score, and he misses a kick, and it just feels awfully deflating at that
moment.
It's
almost like, what did you expect? We've watched Jake Elliott continue to struggle. Like, here we are. We're past the point of no return.
And here's where it's getting more confusing. It's the short ones now. Like, he actually had good kickoffs yesterday. His kickoffs, he boomed them, you know, halfway through the end zone, touchback, a lot of touchbacks. So it wasn't like a leg strength issue. I agree with you, John. I think it's in the head issue. I mean, I don't know how, and I know the last one was in the snow. I get that, but
and
my
it does
God.
Make it harder.
All right, Reese, thanks, buddy.
It makes it a lot harder to go out there when you have no confidence and you have to kick in the snow and inclemency. Like, that was brutal.
And look, he made some big field goals, but, I mean, missing two extra points. Come on, James.
It's unacceptable.
James, what do you got in there?
Yeah, some good news. Ian Rappaport tweeting out, the Eagles had a couple of key players banged up, but it appears Jalen Hurts and Quinyon Mitchell did not suffer major injuries.
Good.
So no further on it, but at least according to Ian Rappaport, early returns looking good.
John, would Ian Rappaport, if it's an MCL sprain, would he term that a major injury, or do you think he's saying he did not have an ACL tear?
Well, I think he's saying for sure there's no ACL.
For sure, but would he say...
I think it's possible that there's an MCL if it's just a grade one tweak.
I still think it's
likely if he had an MCL that would be included in this injury.
Maybe
report.
There's a nebulous
because
element
that
there.
Is,
would that be counted
that
as
is
major?
An injury?
Yeah,
that
but would
keeps
that
people out?
But would it be major? I don't know.
I think
Seltzer gut feeling.
Depending
would
on
he
severity.
Say he avoided a major injury if he has an MCL sprain?
Maybe. Yeah, I think avoid major injury for Rappaport means he's likely to play this week and whatever else that is could
I
be
think
anything.
My point is I think MCL sprain might still be on the table.
I agree.
Yeah.
I'm saying I think it absolutely could be.
Yeah, which is a shame.
He held the outside of his knee when it happened, and that mechanism of injury doesn't make much sense for an MCL sprain. Because his leg, instead of being extended or hit from the outside, which is what that's how you get the inside of your knee stretched or, you know, that ligament torn, hitting from the outside, his leg was just collapsing, you know, like rather than extending, it was flexing.
And there was a lot going on. Both knees were vulnerable.
Yeah.
The ankle was a little vulnerable, and I thought his groin was vulnerable. I mean, he was getting kind of split there. Like,
he
there
just
was,
got rolled
there was a lot
up
going
in a
on
bad
there.
Way. And I've been in that position where your legs, like, collapse like that, smush yep. like that, and it feels like there's just nowhere else for them to go. And it feels like the back of your knee can be affected. Mine was when my legs went like that, the
wow.
back. And there's something in the back, like the popliteal, like whatever it is, mm-hmm. That can be a problem that doesn't prevent you from playing, where it just feels tight and weird. That's what happened for me.
It will be a shame if he can't run as much. I would think he yeah. probably won't run as much in 6 days, but we'll see. It's possible
that he's okay to run. It's possible that he will be hampered.
Yeah.
The brace itself, we know that that can hamper you just alone. Just having a brace yeah. under those pants,
well, that's right.
it makes it really hard to bend your leg.
Yeah. All right, let's listen to how it sounded here on WIP yesterday. An all-time victory by the Eagles. Survive in advance, to say the least. Merrill Montage. Let's crank it up.
We're gonna need a montage. Ooh, it takes a montage.
Welcome to the final game of the divisional round of the NFC playoffs. To the victor comes a spot in the NFC Championship game against
yes.
Washington. The loser can only focus on next year. Second down and 4 at the Rams 45-yard line. Hurts, looks, fakes, keeps it at the 40, at the 35, 30, 25, 20. Jalen Hurts, touchdown! 45 yards. Here's the extra point, spotted, kicked up, and no good. No good. A missed extra point by Jake Elliott. Back goes Stafford. He fires, and it is complete for a touchdown to Higbee. And now the Rams can take the lead with the extra point. And the gun, Hurts, gives off to Barkley. He's got a first down and more. 50, 40. 30, 20, 10, 5, touchdown, Saquon Barkley.
He did it
62
again.
62 yards.
He did it again, Mel Reese.
44-yarder for the lead. Snap, placed, kick, away, and the kick is good. Jake gets them the lead. A line drive. Hurts drops. Hurts looks. He starts to run, and he's pulled down at the 30-yard line. He doesn't get far. McCullough dragged him down.
Very slow getting up, Jalen Hurts, and he gets up with a little bit of a limp. Fortunately, Jalen Hurts comes out of that medical tent, and now he's jogging onto the field.
The ball at the 7-yard line. Hurts again in the gun. Does he come back to Barkley again? He doesn't. He backpedals. He steps up. He looks. He is tackled. It's a safety. The 6th sack. Oh, that's the worst thing that could happen. Stafford. This time he gives it off to Williams, who fumbles the football, goes down, and it's picked up by the Eagles. There's the big turnover of the game. Rodgers picks it up. Rodgers picks it up and takes it down to the 8. Back to the step. He looks up. He's being chased. He has the ball knocked out of his hands. Eagles have it.
Yep.
Second turnover.
Yep.
Knocked out of his hands. And coming up with it, Nolan Smith made the hit. And Zach Bourne recovered. This is about a 37-yard attempt to give the Eagles a 7-point lead. Spotted, kicked up, and it is
got it.
Good. He's got it again. Jake may have missed the first extra point, but he has connected with 3 clutch field goals. Hurts in the gun on first down. He goes to Barkley. He breaks a tackle. He's on his way.
Uh-oh.
Here he goes. He's at the 40, 30, 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown! Saquon Barkley, 78 yards. Boy, that'll lock it up.
Boy, he is a special football player.
It's not over yet, but the Eagles are at a 2-touchdown lead. Firing again, this time the cup inside the 5. And they're rolling. Stafford stamps his foot. He's back. He's looking. He fires, and it is caught for a touchdown by Kobe Parkinson. Well, this is a little more serious than I expected. Stafford, he backpedals, he looks up, he's going deep down the far side of the field, and is it caught?
It is caught.
It is caught by Nacua down to the 20. Oh, my goodness. Stafford in the gun. 6 for 15 on third down. Back again. They got him. They sack him. It's Carter, Jalen Carter.
Can't block him. Then he gets himself a Matthew Stafford.
It's 4th and 11. If the Eagles stop them right here, if they keep them shy of a first down, they win the game. He's in the gun. Motion to the near side. Stafford back. He's looking. He puts it in the air, and it's incomplete. It's incomplete. The Eagles take over on downs, and now they are heading for the NFC Championship game.
Well, a thrilling victory by the Eagles. It was a high-wire act, to say the least. Great job by the Birds. Great job by Joe Wechter putting that together. That takes some time to tell the story of a game in just a couple of minutes. He certainly did there. You know, those last two plays, I mean, other than the kneel downs, the Jalen Carter third downer, if you haven't, when he sacked Stafford, if you haven't seen it, there was a Rams tight end wide open. Wide open. Because an Eagles linebacker had, I forget which one of the players on the Eagles slipped. The tight end was wide open. And if Stafford had just had a moment to breathe, he probably would have hit that guy. He might have scored. So that was massive. And then on the fourth down play, obviously it was fairly well covered by the Eagles defensive back, but there was an opening to hit that receiver. There was an opening. And Stafford did not have time to step into it, and the ball sailed out of bounds. I mean, Jalen Carter may have saved the season. And, of course, he had the fumble, forced fumble, on Kyren Williams, where when he did it, you know, I think there was a lot of people that thought, all right, if the Eagles just go in here for a touchdown now, the game's probably
that's what I thought.
Almost
that's
over.
That's what I was
right?
like, yeah, and then they did nothing,
yeah.
right?
So they had a field goal.
Field goal, yeah.
So, you know, all right, spectacular. And by the way, better job by Jalen Carter, John. Then, how about Mark Andrews?
Oh my God, dude.
I feel terrible.
Can you imagine waking up today?
This offseason.
I mean, that's just a disaster.
I can imagine you're so driven this for the offseason program.
You're driven all you want, but
lifting
not today.
And everything else.
Yeah, today, you know, a whole city is just.
Because it wasn't just the drop at the end, it was the fumble earlier.
It was both. He had the two biggest bad plays for the Ravens in the game.
If you know NFL history, deep NFL history in the 70s, it was a Jackie Smith moment.
Dude, I thought of Jackie Smith.
Jackie Smith was an easier catch.
Yes.
Because Mark Andrews is moving to his right. He's got to kind of turn back around. It's not the easiest catch, but obviously he should have gotten it. And we would have had probably overtime. And anyway, now, and I'll say something else. James, some of you agree with this. The other three games over the weekend, all three went the way we should want them to go from an Eagles standpoint. Let me make the argument again. Tell me if you agree with this. Houston wasn't getting to the Super Bowl. I don't care what anybody says. They weren't getting there. I think KC winning is good for the Eagles because I thought Baltimore and Buffalo were the two best teams, and it makes it harder for one of them, in this case Buffalo, to get there because they got to go at KC. Do you buy that theory?
Sure. I can get down with that. Yeah.
And Buffalo-Baltimore, what'd you think of it, Rhea?
I think if the Eagles do get to the Super Bowl, I like the matchup with Buffalo better than I would like a matchup with Kansas City. Kansas City just, they have that, you know, that mystique about them now. And I think that like plays into people's heads, just like the Patriots did.
They find ways. The Eagles and KC are similar.
They are.
They both find ways to win ugly.
They do.
Yeah.
They do. I would rather play the Buffalo Bills.
Man, I'm torn on this one. John, who would you rather play?
The Chiefs. They're much worse this year. The Bills are a much better team.
There is the referee factor, though, which
big
can't
time.
Be discounted.
And there's the been there, done that factor.
There is that.
I mean, Andy off a bye. Like, all these, there are so many things where I agree.
Right.
I would.
Are just not.
I just don't
as
think
good.
It's as obvious. I think I would probably rather play the Chiefs, but like, it's like razor thin for me either
I'm
way.
I'm mostly where you are, James, but I don't know. That's. We'll say. We'll probably put that into a poll question later this week. Who would you rather? Anyway, all right. 215.
Let's get there first.
I hear you.
How about that?
And that Jaden Daniels guy. Holy mackerel.
Oh, my
holy
God.
Mackerel.
So he may already be the fifth best quarterback in football. I think there's a top four. I think it's pretty clear, whatever order you want to put them. Mahomes, Burrow, Lamar, and Josh Allen. I think pretty clearly the
I
top four.
I agree with that, yeah.
Like, I think pretty much everybody in America would say those four are the best four in whatever order. Jaden Daniels might be number five already. He's really, really, really good.
By the way, Jaws has nailed it. You meant on two of the quarterbacks, yeah. James, you mentioned earlier when he said that Jane Dad, you know, the best.
Yeah.
And he also said that Jordan Love was overrated, which we were all shocked
And
at.
He said in like November, I don't trust Sam Darnold in a big spot.
Yep, he did say that.
He might know what he's talking about. I know. Jaws on the program with us tomorrow, 7:25. Reminder, Nick Sirianni tomorrow, right around this time. Well, we think. I mean, we haven't confirmed it yet. But basically every Tuesday, 8:40, Sirianni. So our expectation, Nick Sirianni tomorrow at this time. Seth Joyner joins us coming up in about 10 minutes. Let's get to Rob right now in South Jersey. Good morning, Rob.
Joe, what's up, man?
Quite a bit, my man. Quite a bit.
Yo, I'm not going to lie.
We've been through a lot of these Phils, Eagles, Flyers back in the day a little bit. My heart yesterday, man. I'm still recovering.
It was a tough one. I know what you mean. It was gut-wrenching basically for all 3 hours.
It was excruciating.
It really was.
I personally was very happy that they won because when Saquon scored that second touchdown to go up 28-15, I ran outside in front of my house and did a snow angel, and then they almost lost. And I was like, oh, my God, I jinxed them.
Yeah, the problem is Jake Elliott did a snow angel at the same moment, and he missed the kick.
My wife was like, well, he missed another extra point.
Yeah, that's two.
There's so many points to talk about. Obviously, I only got a few seconds here, but I want to talk about Jalen. I really think I'm with you, Joe. I think people are giving him crap. I don't think he was that bad yesterday. Obviously, fans the holding onto the ball, taking the sack. His throws to Devonta on the penalty and the one to AJ were absolute dimes. There was also a play that I thought was
Devonta was the long one I was referencing earlier. That was the one where he got crushed, right?
There was also a 3rd and 12 in his own end zone where he threw a screen to Barkley.
That was great.
Down.
Yep.
I just think his poise was good. I'm going to throw out the second half just because the conditions were bad, but I'm a little worried about his knee. One other point I want to throw out, and I'm not taking anything away from the kid. Jaden Daniels got, and he's great. I'm not taking anything away from the kid. He went down to Tampa in warm weather. They scored 23 points. They went into a dome, and they smoked a battered defense.
Yeah.
Coming to Philly in cold weather, he's an LSU kid.
That's fair.
Against this defense, it's not going to be as easy for him.
Well, look, that's fair. Here's the one thing I'll say, and this is a really weird comparison. It's 20 years ago in a different sport. What he's doing reminds me a little bit right now of what Josh Beckett did when he led the Marlins to a World Series.
Oh, sure.
Every once in a while, a young guy is just like way
ahead of schedule. Levon Hernandez did it for the Marlins, too.
Levon Hernandez, yeah.
You know, 6 years prior to that.
Yeah, and look, Tim Duncan won a title in his second year. And so sometimes you're just – but I hear you, Rob. That's a reasonable point. He hasn't played in the conditions or against the type of defense he'll face Sunday with the Eagles. And obviously part of it is – now, by the way –
against it twice. And he, you know –
beat him once. And, yeah. by the way, Washington has an extra day, which is, you know, not ideal, but it is what it is. But we should just point that out. Extra day for them to prepare. But they got to prepare for Jalen Carter. Let's listen to Nick Sirianni talking about Jalen Carter. Massive, massive, massive impact yesterday by Jalen Carter.
He's a special player. Jalen Carter is a special player, and he's just done so many of the right things to continue to make himself a special player. Can't say enough about Vic and the job that he does of putting him in position to succeed. Clint Hurt is a special coach that has helped Jalen, and then all the credit goes to Jalen, who's continued to get better. Jalen's consistently done the right things in and out of the building, from his conditioning to his weight to his style of play. And Jalen Carter, man, he's special.
Can you imagine the contract Jalen Carter is going to get in a couple years? He has a chance in a couple years to be the highest paid defensive player in football. He's got a shot.
55, 60.
Per?
Think about it.
Only quarterbacks get that. Everything. Like 30 to 40 per, I
no,
think.
No, more than that. I think John's a little high.
Gonna,
I think they're a little
like 35
low.
Is the highest gonna,
well,
quarterback.
John's right. Money is going to go up. Money's going to go up.
70? Look, 75?
Could it be 4 years, $200 million maybe? He's going
to. Could.
He's going to get paid a lot of money. All right, Seth.
He changes games, and he gets sacks.
So
when
Justin,
you get sacks. You get paid.
Justin Jefferson, $35 million a year is the most a non-quarterback makes right now.
Yeah, but a great defensive player I think is more important.
Well, we're talking in 5 years, right?
No, we're talking in a couple years.
We're talking in 1 or 2 years. So he's eligible.
So maybe $40
million. He's eligible next year, but because he's a rookie 5-year deal, maybe they wait till after his fourth year, which would be 2 years from now.
I think he's going to be okay.
I think so, too. Seth Joyner joins us in studio next. Seth, fielding your phone calls.